Ray will join us here in just a moment. The Leafs have some lineup changes tonight. Michael Hutchinson will play in net. Shouldn't be surprising. I mean, I think we figured that was going to happen. But Zach Hyman, I guess, got banged up last night. He's day-to-day. He's out. So Patan will draw in for him. And Mikko Lehtinen will play for Zach Bogosian tonight, which I don't get the impression is injury-related. I guess it's just we want to give him the night off. He's a grizzled vet. He's been playing a lot. It's a back-to-back. And maybe you want to get Lehtinen in there, I guess, and not have him just sitting around. Maybe it's based on who they're playing. I'm not sure. Maybe. But
I was worried about Hyman. He took that slap shot on the foot last night. That's, to me, would be, I'm hoping it's just a bruised foot or something. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not evaluating it. I'm just saying that I don't know if you guys saw that. He took that shot and was
big
hobbling
time
around. He stayed on the rest of the shift and grinded, but you could tell he was uncomfortable. So you know what it's like. You guys have your skate in your boot, or sorry, your foot in your skate, in your boot, and when you take it out at the end of the game, it blows up, or you get an x-ray and maybe there's something in there going on, but you hope that it's all right and just misses a game, because that's a guy who's played well and very consistent for them in your top six.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been great for him, and hopefully it is day-to-day. I mean, we know injuries, especially with COVID and stuff, and I don't know what the rules are with getting physio and getting in and seeing doctors and all that kind of stuff. I get the impression like you have access to it, but I don't know if you can rehab in the same way. Like the Raptors just went through it with OG Anunoby, where he was day-to-day for 10 games. Like every game would pop up, and you're like, I think he's playing tonight. They've been saying he should be ready. Nope, going to miss it. Maybe tomorrow. Nope, going to miss it. Maybe Saturday. Nope, going to miss it. And I wonder how much of that is just the nature of the injury, which can happen if you have a lingering injury and it can flare up and it's unpredictable, and how much of it is I can't rehab the way I want to.
Right.
I don't know what the protocols are with
Might
that.
Might be a little bit of both, but you're right. Like, nowadays, you're hiding so much. Like, it's just, he's unavailable to play or a little nicked up. Like, he could have something going on, and you're right. He could be day-to-day for 10 games. You hope that's not the case, and it's just a bruise or whatever's wrong with him. But, I immediately thought, in seeing that shot, I was like, that one stung.
That one hurt. That one hurt.
Stung. That was a hard shot.
I was surprised he kept playing. Like, even because they got the puck out, then got it deep, and he chased it on a forecheck. I'm like, get off the ice, man. He just took a bomb off the leg.
I know.
But anyway, so Hyman is out tonight, and Bogosian is out tonight. Michael Hutchinson will start. Ray Ferraro will join us here in just a moment. We'll get his take on what Joe Thornton said about Matthews last night, where that's his guy. You know, it's his line mate, his buddy, and he's saying, I play with two or three guys who can do this, but maybe not at this level.
Didn't it feel like he was doing his San Jose tour through Toronto, but he's actually on the Leafs?
I like it.
Yeah, it did.
We've talked about that someone is going to have to start advocating. In the weirdest reality of Toronto is it's the biggest hockey market. It's got the most media. Yet, out of spite, in a way, you can't prop up the players that much. Now, there haven't been guys that have deserved it.
I was just going to say, who's deserved it? Like,
sure.
There was a couple super fans that voted for Kadri to be up for the Selke the other day, or the other, a couple years ago.
Yeah, and obviously that's just silliness. But
this is more legit. Like,
this is
100% this is more of a conversation.
Legit.
Like, but I will say, you have to include the league.
Of course,
like,
you do.
He is
included in what
you're right,
like,
but
this, he's been knocking on this door for a while. This isn't just, wow, a shock. I can't believe he's doing this. This is amazing.
Right.
He's been knocking on the door for a while. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Where do you stand on the Matthews Hart Trophy pursuit?
Oh, well, he's one of the premier elite candidates for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I don't know how there could be an argument to that. Is there?
There shouldn't be.
No, I mean, he's a legit one. There's five or six guys, I think, probably right now that are, and I'll forget some of them, but I'm sure that have to be in that conversation. Of course, the two guys in Edmonton are, in Draisaitl and McDavid. I would think Jonathan Huberdeau should be in Florida. He's had an amazing start to the year. Patrick Kane's probably another one.
Yeah.
It looks right now like Kane's going to be 40 years old and still throwing up 70 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just never slows down. I don't know that there's some years there's a defenseman that kind of even though there's the Norris Trophy, there's a defenseman that sticks his nose into this, but I don't know that there is really, not this year anyway. But those would be like kind of my five guys, I think.
Yeah, no, yeah. We went down our list and Scheifele came up, Marchand, Bergeron's been off to a great start. But yeah, those are all, it's all a cast of characters that I think everyone would accept. Yeah. And for, you know, it depends on which way you look at it and whether or not you're looking for fresh blood. Do you believe that the crown is held by somebody? Narratives play a role in this in terms of predicting who's going to win. We saw that in the NFL. We had that discussion, you know, Mahomes versus Rodgers and the narrative that could come into play. And sometimes voters are just looking for something new. And Matthews would check off a lot of those boxes.
But I think the something new argument is ridiculous.
It should really be, but do. I think it's a reality, right? I think it happens.
Well, yeah, okay, sure, it's a reality, but it's ridiculous. It's not like who's got the shiny new coat. It's like who's the most valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the Mahomes-Rodgers thing, if you're like, yeah, I should vote for Patrick Mahomes because it's new, well, what criteria does that have to anything? Like, yeah. That Matthews hasn't won this yet. Like, why should that matter? It should matter that he's the most valuable player, if that's what you believe. If, like, in that case, Bobby Orr should have never won the Norris Trophy 7 years in a row, except they kept voting for the best guy.
That's what it should be. And it, for whatever reason, it's fatigue, I think. I guess. I mean, when we're talking about the best of the best, where, and maybe it's not applied in the NHL. I don't know if it has over the past full, you know, 3 or 4 years. Where even though
but
I would
does
say
in a way, Brian, it doesn't, don't you think like there's a momentum to a guy? Like a couple years ago, I forget how many years ago, Sean Couturier won the Selke. And or I think he did anyway. And it was like there was a momentum to his candidacy.
Oh yeah, so they just get in there every year. It's like no matter what. Yeah,
you're right.
And you're there's, like, oh, he's gotta be in. Like this is his time. He's gotta be in. And really that shouldn't matter. Maybe it's more so with the Selke because in a lot of cases, you start to notice a guy year after year. But Patrice Bergeron can go out there in rubber boots, and he's going to be one of the finalists for the Selke.
Well,
every year.
You're right. And Brian, what you're talking about, maybe like the Shea Weber / Brent Burns / Doughty, you know, it's his turn type of thing. Roman Yossi's been the best D for a couple of years. Well, you know, the Lifetime of Achievement Award instead. I don't see that with the Hart, though. I see it with other trophies where you get momentum. The only momentum Hart that I've seen in recent years, correct me if I'm wrong, was Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall had such a ridiculous kind of stretch near the end of the year where he separated, you know, himself in points, and he ended up with, 90-some points, and the next guy was at 50. That one was, in recent memory, kind of like momentum build.
Yes, but it was shocking that his team made the playoffs, too. There was that element as well.
Right, right.
That Jersey was not very good, and wow, I can't believe they made it, and Taylor Hall has been so good. You're right, in terms of that momentum. Corey Perry hitting 50 goals, and that kind of developed into a momentum type of Hart Trophy, I think.
Right.
But, you know, Matthews, I said this in the last segment, right? You know, the case for McDavid is pretty simple. He's the best player, and he's playing at his best. And if the team makes the playoffs, that's very difficult to beat. You know, it's a very compelling case. Best player, most points, playing at his best, team makes the playoffs. Okay, that checks a lot of boxes. I think for Matthews, for me, you know, he's got to keep up with them in points. He's not going to pass them. He's not going to match them. But he's got to keep up with them. I think he's clearly got to win the Rocket. And his case would be if he's the best player on a very good team / best team in the division, that goes a long way. And maybe what he would need looking into the future is what Draisaitl got last year. Remember when McDavid got injured and Draisaitl just continued to be a rock star? And it was like, all right, he's going to win the Hart. If Matthews gets off a line with Marner, based on injury or Marner moves around, and Matthews continues to score at the clip that he's at, I think that might solidify a case for him too.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned the Rocket. Like I think there is value, and at least in my mind, and should be considered, is that, you know, points are one thing, and there's, you know, assists are super important, but to finish, to be the top goal scorer, And if it's by four or five or six or something like that, that matters to me. Like you can't underestimate how hard it is to score. Like it's bloody hard. And so I don't think that takes away from McDavid's candidacy, but I think that is critical to Matthews. Like he's got to score at that rate. And as his game continues to get better, like I think we've talked about this, you know, a couple of times, but he doesn't even look like the same player he looked like a couple years ago. And if he's on that trajectory, he's not going to win one. He'll win more than one. Mm-hmm. Because he's starting to, like, you know, he just leans on somebody in the defensive zone, takes the puck, and whoosh, out they go. And you know who's done that a lot? I watched last night, Noodles, I know you watched, we talked a little bit, but Draisaitl does that more and more.
Yeah.
They use their size in the D zone, and all of a sudden they got the puck again. That stuff is going to manifest itself into bigger numbers, because no matter what, the guy that wins the heart, generally speaking, is a pretty good offensive player or a great offensive player.
Yeah,
Ray, what did you see last night? Anything kind of stick out with you? And what do you expect tonight with Hutchinson going into the net?
Well, I think they have to play him. Like,
sure, yeah.
You know, eventually you're just going to run the wheels off Freddie here. And he's played well enough that there's no point in getting him to the net where he gets tired, gives up a couple of crappy ones, starts to question his confidence, and you spiral a little bit. Like, there's no need to do that. The Leafs are a better team than Ottawa, and even with Hutchinson in goal, and clearly he's not Freddie Anderson, they've got to be able to think they can win this game. Like, they have to be able to think that. As far as last night, I don't know, it seemed like a mid-season game that, even though it's not really mid-season, but that didn't have enough energy for anyone to separate themselves early, and then the longer Ottawa's in the game, now they're in the game, and they get the goal, you know, the Tkachuk-Matthews goal there, and, you know, like, at that point, they're not going away. It's the game. You know, those ones I remember as just being, like, hard work. Like, there's just nothing easy in the game like that.
We mentioned yesterday that McDavid was on the verge of 500 points, and he got it last night. 500 points and 300 in 69 games, which is exactly what Sidney Crosby did, which is just an incredible coincidence, really, but a testament to how great these two players are.
What's
that?
Passed me at 496. Congrats.
Yeah, congratulations to
Yeah, well, he's got 398 to go. We'll see how he turns out.
Yeah, I think he might have a shot at it.
He'll probably get it by next Thursday.
He very well could. Big one tonight and over the weekend, he's all good. But it does feel, you know, in this era of GOAT talk, separating Gretzky or Howe, Lemieux is probably appropriate. And if you just apply it to this century, you know, fighting for the GOAT of the 21st century, it feels like it's going to be McDavid and Sid. Like, I think Ovechkin should be included, and he likely will be. But I think these two guys are on a different level. I think Sid has already played himself certainly in the top 10 all time, maybe top 5 or 6, depending on how you want to list it. But you break down what Crosby has accomplished in terms of winning, and that's where I think it's going to be tough for McDavid, where, like, Crosby scored the golden goal in Vancouver. Like, that, I don't think that'll ever be available to McDavid. Mm-hmm. And he's got 3 cups. He's been to 4. He's got to get going, McDavid. Like, the points are one thing. You got to win, I think, if you're ever going to be able to say that you're passing Sidney Crosby.
I don't disagree. I just, you know, when you say, like, you got to get going, like, so what we're saying is the Oilers got to get going.
Exactly.
Like, what the hell else is he going to do? He can't play goal. He can't, no. You know, he can't right. play defense. You're one part of it. And the one thing that I think, when I think of Crosby, I just did a thing for SportsCenter on, you know, because he's coming up to his 1,000th game on the weekend, is that, like, there's a relentlessness, work ethic, will that I think separates Crosby from a lot of other great players. I think McDavid has it too. I think most of these great players have it. Like, you know, like the story we heard about this summer, they're down in Arizona, and Matthews and McDavid want to work on receiving the puck on their backhand. because they want to improve that. And you're like, really? They got to improve that? I don't think so. But like the ability to break it down and then to put the work in, I think separates these guys that have been given all this God-given talent, yet they make it, they manifest it by their work ethic, by their desire, their love for the work, to put the work in. And I think that's one of the ways that, that Sid will separate himself always. Because how many times have we seen footage of him? And maybe we never see the footage of the other guys, but he's the only guy out there. He's, you know, he's working late. He's, you know, his training stuff that we saw on video before other guys were putting it out there. And you're like, oh, my God, the guy's a machine. And he's done all this on the back of, there was a time when, man, we didn't even know if he was going to play again.
Yeah,
like that's right. Not far-fetched. That, you know, that was a long time he was out after the Steckel hit. And that was, you know, and I mean, like, we didn't know. Like, was he going to come back? Was he going to be the same? And, man, he's, you know, he's had an incredible run.
Yeah. Here's the other thing I wanted to pile on to that, too, is, and I know people talk about it, but the eras are just slightly different. Like, Crosby started when, you know, there were still defensemen that were chopping wood in front of the net and can opener, like, you know, McCabe was can opening guys. Like, you know, there was a lot of difficulty to what Sidney had to go through. And I'm not suggesting it's just a different game. That's my point.
Yep.
It's just a different game right now. You're not seeing guys get chopped down and slashed in the hands as much and having to go through all the physical nonsense that a guy like Crosby did. And he was actually a target early on. Remember, they called him a whiner, and he'd get punched in the face, and he'd be yelling at the ref. And like, he had a lot of adversity to go through just to get to those points, to get to, you know, greatness. And that, you know, McDavid, not as much, put it that way, as far as the physicality.
The games are completely different, right? Like, they're, you're right, Noodles. Like, the stuff that you had to fight through, or he had to fight through early on, the number of goals seemed to be, you know, climbing back up where there's more points available. And that doesn't take away anything from these guys' brilliance. Like, the only case really I can, you know, you end up arguing in Edmonton is about the most valuable player stuff is Draisaitl had 120 points last year.
Yeah.
Like, man, like, their candidacy for MVP and stuff works against each other.
Yeah, it's almost like they cannibalize each other in a way.
That's where I was, sorry, Brian, but that's where I was saying, like, I left Draisaitl and Marner off my list, but I believe easily both of those guys could be on my list had they not been playing with the other guy, you know, relative terms.
I think you'd say that about Bergeron and Marchand, too, have both been off to just great starts.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's like we almost take them for granted. Like Bergeron in particular, the numbers are, he's got more than a point a game.
Yeah.
And but you know what else he's going to bring.
Yeah, that's where I was going to factor in, is how do you judge this, though, Ray? We talked about it earlier, when there's such a disparity in games played, you know, and
well, also, like, Noodles, like, you're playing the same six teams all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
this voting this year has a chance to be so far all over the board. Like, I've seen Jonathan Huberdeau play, I think, three times. I've seen him on the highlights lots.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I've seen him three times. Like, normally in a regular year, you see him a lot more. How are you going to vote for people as the most valuable player when they play in a division that you never see? It's going to be. I think there's going to be some funny votes this year.
Well, hey, how many games do you think they're going to get to? We were just talking about it.
I think they're going to get to 48. Oh, like, yeah. I think 48 is going to be the number that. That some teams are going to be able to get to. And I think we might end up with a place like baseball where, you know, you get near the end of the year and, hey, Nashville has got 11 games left and only three of them are against teams that are fighting for a playoff spot. The other eight are going to go out the window. They do it in baseball.
Yeah.
They do it all the time. They're like, there's a team with 157 games this year.
Yeah. I don't know if you, I said this earlier too, Ray. I don't know if you need it balanced. Like, I if Canada can play 56, go for it. If everyone else is playing 48, yep. so be it. Like, what? I don't see that being that big of a disadvantage if you have to play 8 more games come the conference final. I don't think that schedule, that workload is going to lead to a big disadvantage when you play a team in the conference final.
See, I don't think it does, and I also think they're not going to have a choice.
No, they're not giving that
like
money
back. If they keep knocking games off the schedule for these teams, eventually, short of them playing 5 games in 4 days, which of course can't happen, how are they going to make them up? They've only got so right. much time.
Yeah. No, it's going to be so imbalanced, and that's where, you know, and I hate doing this. I hate going, okay, that guy is on pace for, and we've had to do it anyways. You know, Matthews' 50 goals technically is 34, correct? Isn't that a 50-goal season would
yeah,
be 34 for him, right? So, like, what if a guy only plays 48 and he's up against another guy who got 56 games and you're going, okay, well, hold on here. This guy got this goals or this guy got this amount of points. And you know what I mean? Like,
that's why
now
I think
it's screwy.
The ones that you can win on your own, although I guess they will be imbalanced to an extent. Like, if Matthews plays 56 and wins the Rocket,
right.
but someone plays 48 and is close in terms of goals per game, will there be an asterisk? I guess there might be.
Well,
but if you play
right,
equal
be.
Amount, then I think it means even more. If you get the Art Ross or the Rocket, it's like you can't take that away from anyone. Like, it's the NHL. You played NHL teams. That guy scored the most points. That guy
right.
scored the most goals. But if there's an imbalance in the amount of games, then it might come down to points per game and all that. And then who wants that conversation?
Oh, well, man, I should have paid more attention to math in high school.
Oh, it's so annoying. Imagine you're like, no, this guy won the Art Ross based on points per game.
Well, right. but you know the other guy's home city fans are going to go, yeah, but, you know, my guy had, you know, 1.03 points per game. Your guy only had 1.01.
Right.
It's going to be obnoxious.
Well, and on top of it, the narrative angle, I think, gets exposed even more. Like, Noodles, you brought up Joe Pavelski, who's been off to a great start. Let's
right.
say it continues at a certain rate. I mean, he's not
right.
going to do what he's been doing, but I could see voters saying, okay, he had a great year, and he dealt with COVID and an ice storm that shut down the season, and wow, I got to give him even more credit. Or
right,
how
right.
is that fair to the other players who are like, what do you want me to do? We didn't get shut down.
Right.
And, you know, our water wasn't shut down, or we didn't have an ice storm or whatever.
Right, right.
You know,
it just,
but
it's weird.
These
like,
are
that's
all
the thing.
Different
it's
variables
so screwy.
That could factor in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all subjective. The voters, we know that story. I mean, you're going to vote for whoever you see fit. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, enjoy it tonight, buddy. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
Yep, you betcha. Hutchinson is tonight, right?
Yes, he
yeah.
is. Yeah,
I did
and Hyman's
see that note
out.
From Mark.
Yep, Hutchinson's in. Hyman's out. Bogosian's out tonight, too, which. I think Bogosian, it's not based on injury. It's just giving him a night off. And Hyman, it is injury-related, so we'll see come Saturday night in Montreal.
Well, I know that, you know, the Habs, I was just on a Montreal radio. They've been sitting around practicing for a week, so you know what that first 10 minutes might look like for Montreal. So,
absolutely.
Take you know,
advantage.
You got a chance to jump on them there.
Big time. Well, we'll tee it up tomorrow at 5.
Yep, have a good one, guys. See ya.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. If you're looking to lower your car payments, downsize your vehicle, or trade in two cars for one, visit MapleToyota.com or book an in-person appointment.